So, do you know, right at the heart of the Christmas story stands a young woman called Mary. And she says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." That is an extraordinary thing for her to say, because nothing about Mary's life feels calmed or settled. I think we often sentimentalise this story. You know, soft lights, candles, quiet animals, a peaceful scene. But what Luke gives us when he tells us the Christmas story is something that is much braver. Mary's joy is not fragile. In a world where an unmarried woman who is pregnant could get you killed, she rejoices in the Lord her Saviour. Let's stop and think about that. I know you know the story, but just stop and for a moment and rethink that story in your head. Don't sentimentalize it. Actually stop and think, oh, Jesus, look what this woman was prepared to do to give you life in this world. Mary's joy is not fragile. It's rebel joy. It's resistance joy. You see, joy can be a reaction, or joy can be a state. There are joy moments like, so I've been pregnant and it was wanted pregnancy. And so the first time your baby kicks, do not touch me. Please ask people before you touch their pregnant stomach. Some people really don't like it. But for me, I'm like, quick, did you feel that? And I was like, no. But, eventually he did. You know, there's that moment of joy that happened. The other moment of joy that for me was when, again, I was pregnant, and I guess because Mary's pregnant, I'm thinking about, and I've just spent like 8 weeks with a pregnant woman. Really makes you think about pregnancy and remember a whole load of stuff that you thought, oh yeah, that memory has come back and I remember that, definitely. Oh, I just want to check something. Oh, good. Angel's not in the sky. Oh, you know when you get that horrible feeling? No, you probably don't. But I put it this together and I chose a Christmas and I thought, oh, is the angel in the sky? Because if it is, that's going to be terrible, isn't it, in light of what Luke said. But we're all right, sort of. I mean, that's not right, but you get the thing. What was I saying? Moments of joy. So that time when I was watching, I had twins, okay? And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the scan and I saw a baby's leg so clearly with his little foot and he's kicking his brother in the head. And I thought to myself, yeah, that ain't happening when you come out, mate. And so there's just that moment, those moments of joy. But if joy, I just realised when I was talking about that moment of joy, I don't know, you may not have noticed, but my body changed. See, when you can still remember the moments of joy, and it has an impact, we're going to talk about this a bit later, but it does have an impact on your physical body. As soon as you start thinking about joy, your body goes from this to this. And your breathing goes from shallow to deep breaths. And your body just changes. It just everything relaxes as you re-remember moments of joy. I'm sure that's why the Lord... This isn't in the notes so much for 20 minutes. I'm sure that's why the Lord got us to build altars. It's so that when we walked past them, when we've got those things, we would remember and go, oh, I remember that. And our bodies and everything would change because we remember those moments of joy. They do leave a mark on us, right? But the problem, though, with moments of joy is they are only for that moment. And chaos, and our lives are often in chaos, let's, admit it. As soon as chaos comes, we actually lose that moment of joy. Chaos steals our joy. So a reaction joy, a moment of joy, that is not what can carry you through grief or uncertainty, change, global instability. I mean, if you're not feeling chaos in your own world, put the news on or don't. Maybe read it. It's a bit visual at the moment. Yeah? Global insecurity. That whole thing that just makes it so unsettling, you know. It doesn't... Moments of joy do not get you through when the baby cries all night. And you think to yourself, I prayed really hard for you and right now I can't remember why. I'm sure there was a reason I thought that having babies was a good idea. And all the mums and dads went, yep. Doesn't carry you through quite the same way. You know? It's really difficult. Mary did not rejoice because life was calm. She rejoiced because God was her constant. My spirit rejoices in. In what, Mary? My Saviour. Who's with me? It's got that mine. I know this. A God who is constant. There's another kind of joy that can get you through chaos, and that's the state of joy. It's a joy that is abiding and enduring and is, I can't think of a better word than settled. Like, that joy does make you settled, yeah? But also, it is settled within you. I'm choosing joy. I think settled is a really good word. As I said, it's quite interesting, you know. Joy and suffering and pain and all of whatever, chaos, anxiety, they all start in the same place. It's in your brain, but it always feels like it's here, doesn't it? But they all start in the same place in your brain. It registers in your body in the same place, irrespective. It's afterwards that the choice is made. Your body goes, this happened, oh. And it will either, and then they take really different paths, and they'll either, it will shoot down the path of pain and anxiety, fight, flight, or freeze, yeah? Or your body will take it down the joy path, okay? And as I already said to you, in that place where it takes the joy path, your body goes from this, it leaves a physical mark on your body, joy. It changes. It literally gives you strength. You can breathe better. So I need to laugh more. I don't breathe very well. So I need to laugh more. Because it gives you joy. It strengthens your lungs. It opens your body. It changes your brain. When you go down the joy path, you have the big, strong reaction. Go down the joy path. Your brain starts working in a different place. It strengthens your prefrontal cortex. Oh, come on. I'm a theologian. It strengthens. That's the part where you can do reasoning. You can think things through. You're not overwhelmed, yeah? Literally, when the scripture said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, we now know that is true. The joy of the Lord is your physical strength. It will strengthen your body. How cool is that? Yeah? So, joy strengthens you. Starts in the same place, but goes down different paths. Something to think about there. My experience of being an expectant mum is that your body carries the joy and the terror, it is a terror, of being pregnant. If you haven't been pregnant, it's kind of difficult to explain. But you carry both of those things at the same time. Because when you've got this little thing growing with you and you can feel and you're so connected to it, you start to think about the future and you start to think about the what ifs and what about this child, and then you see something and my child is coming into this world, and think, and add to that the hormones. And get this, right, women? Mary had teenage hormones, and then on top of that, she had pregnancy hormones. Like, how does she do it? Like, do you not? Yes. Well, the women are going, gee, yeah. You get this, and it is overwhelming, this, these feelings that you have. That's, in fact, everything when you're pregnant can be completely overwhelming, can't it, Daniel? Do you Okay, can you remember, darling? Yes, I thought you could. I saw your face, actually, is what made me say that. I watched my daughter-in-law in the final month of her pregnancy, particularly, and she would rub her stomach and she would rub the baby. And sometimes it was joy. Even I could see the baby moving within her, okay? And so she would rub her stomach. And then other times she would rub her stomach because the baby stuck its backside. I can remember, I can still feel it. And the baby sticks their backside under your rib and you're like certain children who will remain nameless. And I would get hold of the backsides and I would push it out and go, I know there is not enough room in there, but right now, okay, that really hurts. Like, really hurts, and it's not happening, okay? Sorrow and pain can be carried in our bodies. Joy and pain, joy and anxiety, joy and unknown, all of these can be carried in our body together. And Mary would have been the same, okay? We carry that joy, fear, pain together, not separately. And that's often how our faith feels too, yeah? In our faith, I think at times it can feel like you're birthing something, you're carrying something. And it's a time when you're like, Lord, I can feel you're trying to teach me things and I need to understand this stuff. And I know that, you know, all the scriptures that we use, behold, that season's gone, the new has come, yeah? Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe not. That thing, and in our faith, we can go like, I know you're in this, Lord, but gee, but there's joy in it, and it all comes together in the same place. And in that space, like Mary, we're invited to choose the path that leads to joy. The emotions all start in the same place. It's then what you're going to do about it. And sometimes you cannot help it that your body's gone straight to, you know. Okay, fine. Acknowledge it. I'm not saying that we can miss that part. You can't. But what I am saying is that it's coming back to that space of remembering, do you know what? I carry that in my body, but I can also carry joy. And in this space, I am going to look, Lord God, and I'm going to find my spaces of joy, and I'm going to choose the joy of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, even if my body is going, I'm pretty sure you should be freaking out right now. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. I know the God who will save me. That's a choice. That's why it's joy is rebellious. Joy is resistance. Choosing joy is a faithful, defiant choice. See, without suffering, look, joy without suffering is real, yeah? Those moments of joy when I was driving the car and my little two-year-old son, and I said, don't talk to me yet. It was really difficult junction and people were driving too fast. I said, talk to me in a minute. Pulled onto the junction, okay. And he went, well done, Nana, good job. And I thought, little boy, backseat driver already. But it also gave me a lot of joy that his first thing was to be encouraging. Well done, Nana, well done. It's like, oh, thank you very much. Yes, I thought I did well as well. Moments of joy, yeah? But there's no suffering in that, yeah? So joy without suffering is real, but joy through suffering, that is what is transformative. That's what will change you. That's the thing that will make you... Do you know, every time you make the choice to come back and go, oh, nope, we're going up the joy path, it makes like a groove in your brain, literally. And then next time something happens, it automatically, your body goes, oh, well, she's going to choose joy, might as well start there. It's a choice. It becomes this deep, embedded, like, also, you know those tracks when they had the carts that went down? It's just like that in your brain. So, don't ask me what it's called. I don't know. I said, thank you, neuropathways. I did know what they were called. Neuropathways. I did know what they was called. Neural. Well, near enough. They're in the brain. I don't think that Mary's song, this song is amazing and beautiful. This part, this song, this thing of my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. I don't think that song came from innocent, childlike joy. Like the laughter of a baby, that's innocent joy, isn't it? That's joy that hasn't been, the giggle of a kid. That's a joy that hasn't been tested yet. Untested joy. I believe that when Mary wrote this, or she expressed this, so Luke wrote it, but when she expressed all of this, I believe it came after a reflection. And Mary had a lot of fear to reflect on. Her life moved from order to chaos in one conversation. Before the angel Gabriel arrived, Mary's path was predictable. Engaged, planning a wedding, prepared for a normal village life. After Gabriel's words, her ordered life becomes chaos. She's unmarried and pregnant, and her safety is at risk. She risks losing Joseph. She travels on dangerous roads to Bethlehem, and she is physically vulnerable. Women in Jesus' day, many of them died in childbirth. It was the norm, and actually a high percentage of your children died within the first year. This is not an easy thing, a safe thing to do, to be pregnant and have a child. And then later, with her child, she flees to Egypt as a refugee. And seeing that order to chaos is important to recognize, because I think that we have this idea now that the Lord will calm the storm. And the scripture does not promise you that. Sometimes he does. And I love it when he does. That was not... See, her life was ordered until the Lord came into her life. And it was the Lord who brought chaos into her life. Did you notice that? And I think that's important. I think we have to see that. He doesn't always calm the storm. It's not what it's about. You have to go through it sometimes. Emmanuel, God with us. God with you. God with us in this church and as a group of people. And God with us as we're working in our community does not enter the world quietly. That's not our lot in life, Christie's Beach Baptist Church. If you were looking for a quiet life, well, I don't know what to say to you because you're not going to get it. God entering, Emmanuel, God with us, does not equate with a quiet, ordered life. God is the God who unsettles our expectations. And the thing is that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. But to get to Bethlehem, Mary had to go at nearly 9 months pregnant on a donkey on a long trip. I could barely walk. I was walking down the high street and this random woman came up to me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Oh no, I'm fine." I said, "It's just... you know, you get those practice ones before, you know, practice." I said, "Practice contractions." She said to me, "I'm a midwife. They're not practice contractions. You need to get to hospital." I was like, "Oh, okay. This isn't practice?" "No." "Oh, I said, Daniel, I think we've got trouble." If I'm like that, and I was not 9 months pregnant, oh, granted I was having twins, but really it was nothing. Well, do you know what I mean? How did she do it? And I think that it's okay for you. Oh, Mary went to Bethlehem on a donkey. But when God does that in your world, right, and you find that you had to get to a certain position and he makes you go through all of that fear and discomfort and everything to get you, and when you're the one who's like 9 months pregnant in pain and on donkey, I bet you don't rejoice. Yeah? And I bet like me, right, you turn around to the Lord, or maybe you don't, but I would, and I do actually. Like, Lord, you had centuries to work out. You'd already told us. This is what just annoys you sometimes about the Lord. Maybe it's just me. You had centuries to work this out, right? Could you not have worked that out better? Could you not have got poor old Mary there? Do you not sometimes think to the Lord, Lord, you could see this was coming. Even I could see it was coming. Could you not have worked it out better for us? You know? Are you not God? Yeah, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. We have to be in those positions where we're in the right place where God wants us, but we do not always appreciate or understand why he took us on that journey. And what are you going to do about it? The emotion is definitely there. Okay? Am I going to go down that one? And go like, and allow all those like negative emotions and everything? I'm not saying I do not verbalize what I'm thinking to the Lord, because he knows it already. So I tell him all the stuff I think he could have done better. And I say to him, I don't understand. I'm so grateful you answered that prayer. I'm just not sure why it took you so long. yeah? I'm definitely going to go that way. But Mary says, what I've found, she said, in my life is that my spirit chooses to rejoice in God my Saviour. It's not enough. It is that we trust him. I think that joy plays a greater place in our place of hope and faith than perhaps we have recognised. And it is a choice. So... The joy of the Lord is not comfort. The joy of the Lord is not ease. It is not simply answered prayer, although I'm really grateful that God does answer prayer, and I'm even more grateful when he answers it in my timing. The joy of the Lord is the thing that hums quietly in the background of chaos. Mary's joy is an act of resistance against the chaos of her life and the chaos of the world around her. That people could upend your world. You have to all go to Bethlehem, your place of birth, that the Romans could run this world and enforce this world. The world around her was unstable, and the world around her was chaotic. And her response to that is joy. And that is the path of every believer. We do not rejoice because life is easy, or because the journey is safe, or because the answers arrive. I do rejoice when everything works out. Yep, continue doing that. I just want to suggest that maybe our rejoicing starts sooner. Not because of the end of the journey. We rejoice because Emmanuel has come. When Jesus stepped into the world, yeah, he did not come in as the Son of God. He could have, couldn't he? Jesus, the God, could have stepped into our world, okay, and just reorganized the chaos, but he didn't. What God did was come, and he bound God, bound themselves with us in our chaos. They are bound. They're not coming in with power over us. They're coming in with us. Okay? Jesus came and was, the Holy Spirit will come over you, Mary, and you will conceive a child with the Holy Spirit. We're bound now God is bound with you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, which the Holy Spirit does, that commitment to the whole of creation is still there. God is in creation, working in creation, bringing around salvation. But for you who are saved, you get the power of the Holy Spirit bound inside of you. God is with you. He is bound with you in your chaos now. Yeah? This is the God you served, not the God who's going to come up and go, surprise, here's an answer. You know, angel of the Lord, I like angels of the Lord, but yeah, can you see? God is bound with you. This is joy. He's with you in this, and he's with us as a church. I am bound to you in your chaos. I am bound in all the stuff that happens. God bless us all. We're a church and, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. Having had two boys, that I understand that whole thing of siblings in the church so well now. Although I have to tell you, no one ever got kicked in the head in my house. But that thing where God is bound with us, he's bound with us. Hallelujah. Yay. There's your moment of joy, realizing that. Emmanuel, God with us. In a world that is still marked with uncertainty and pain, joy becomes our protest, song, our declaration, our strength. We don't retreat because of all the chaos. No, the joy becomes the very thing that becomes our strength. And this is the gift of Christmas. Not that the world suddenly became calm, but that joy is born into it. Joy is bound into our humanity with us. Mary didn't wait for certainty. Her joy didn't wait for comfort. Joy didn't rise because of any of those comfortable, nice, easy feelings. It rose because Emmanuel has come. Jesus not above the chaos, but in it with us. At Christmas, joy takes flesh. Joy is incarnate. Joy is with us in this space. Joy takes flesh. Joy cries in a manger. Yeah, joy and pain. But joy also breathes in the dark. And joy grows quietly in our ordinary lives. And so we rejoice, not because everything is resolved, but because God has drawn near to us. Light has entered the darkness. Hope has been given a name. Does anyone know what hope's name is? Come on, church. What is hope's name? Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Okay, hope has been given a name, and that name is?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Hope has a name. Jesus. This is our Christmas joy. A joy that can be sung even in the dark, even at night. A joy that stays when the journey continues. And a joy strong enough to carry us forward. My spirit, church, our spirit rejoices in God, our Saviour. Hallelujah. The Lord God saves. Hallelujah. The Lord God saves. And all God's people said, amen. Would you like to stand? I'd like to pray for you. Lord, we recognize that joy has a name, Jesus. We recognize and are so grateful that you are the God who is with us, bound with us in this space. And we are so grateful that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And Lord, we ask, come Holy Spirit, the God who is in us. When I say come Holy Spirit, I'm not expecting the God outside to come and fill me. No, God is here. Come Holy Spirit, remind me, remind us again, Lord God, that in our spaces we've got a choice of what we're going to choose. And may we be a people who deliberately go, okay, Lord, I'm choosing joy in this space. I will find those reasons. I will rejoice. I will be grateful. I will be thank you. We choose, Lord God, joy in those spaces. And I pray, Lord God, for this church and people now. I pray, Lord, that the Lord will bless you and protect you. I pray the Lord will shine and smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and grant you his peace and his joy and his hope. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Church, go in God's peace, go in God's joy, and go and live and move and have your being in the knowledge that your God is with you. Amen. Amen. Amen.